Hello, and thank you for joining us for our special Chicago Tonight coverage of the Republican National Convention. I'm Brandis Friedman. The RNC officially comes to a close as Donald Trump accepts the GOP nomination for president with a marathon of a speech. We kick off our team coverage with Amanda Venicky, who is live at Pfizer Forum in Milwaukee, where Donald Trump just wrapped up his speech. Amanda.
Yes, Brandis, and as you can see behind me, delegates, Trumpites, as they've been named by Hulk Hogan, are celebrating that big balloon drop happening, band playing. We just had an opera song. Now, as for the speech, Donald Trump has made a lot of them over his lifetime, but this really was a major one, as for the third time, he officially became Republicans' nominee for president.
I am running to be president for all of America, not half of America, because there is no victory in winning for half of America. So tonight, with faith and devotion, I proudly accept your nomination for President of the United States. Thank you.
Also a potentially redefining speech for him. It was his first address after the attempted assassination over the weekend. To that end, Trump began uncharacteristically subdued, and then he spent more than 10 minutes telling the story. He said it's so painful that he will never retell it, of his narrow escape from death.
In order to see the chart, I started to like this. Turned to my right and was ready to begin a little bit further turn, which I'm very lucky I didn't do, when I heard a loud whizzing sound and felt something hit me really, really hard on my right ear. I said to myself, wow, what was that? It can only be a bullet.
Now, the thousands of individuals at the convention all got quiet, held a moment of silence for the man, the firefighter, who was killed in that attack, with Trump announcing that millions had been raised for his family. And the firefighter's jacket and helmet were on stage during the address. So, atypical in many ways. For example, actually, you had Trump's fans taking issue with something he said when he said, I'm not supposed to be here tonight. They shouted back, yes, you are. In keeping with the buildup from Trump's team that was going on to project a more unifying message with less of an attack mode than usual, we did get that, at least at the start. But then Trump reverted to common refrains.
But to achieve this future, we must first rescue our nation from failed and even incompetent leadership. We have totally incompetent leadership. This will be the most important election in the history of our country. Under the current administration, we are indeed a nation in decline.
More classic Trump. He railed against illegal aliens. He talked about how impressed he was by the number of people that attend Kid Rock concerts, with Kid Rock, of course, opening for him. He claimed that Russia would not have attacked Ukraine had he been president, and he went on to make a lot of lofty promises. He also referenced his legal woes and his more recent legal wins, including the dropping just earlier of the federal case that accused him of illegally keeping classified documents.
And we must not criminalize dissent or demonize political disagreement, which is what's been happening in our country lately at a level that nobody has ever seen before. In that spirit, the Democrat Party should immediately stop weaponizing the justice system and labeling their political opponent as an enemy of democracy. Especially since that is not true. In fact, I am the one saving democracy for the people of our country.
Trump spent a lot of time, yes, complaining about Democrats and their policies, but only once did he reference President Joe Biden, and it was actually by his name instead of the often used deriding nicknames. It was perhaps an attempt to bring on new individuals to the fold. His team had spent a lot of time building up this message of unity, and Trump did. He made a direct ask of people. He said, whether you supported me in the past or not, please vote for me, he said, so I can bring back the American dream. Brandis, back to you.
All right, Amanda, thank you. We'll see you again a little bit later in the program. But first, we go to Heather Sharon, who is outside Milwaukee's Pfizer Forum. Heather, tonight capped the four-day convention in unusual fashion, foregoing some serious pageantry for something closer to a rock show and a wrestling match.
Well, Brandis, you do not normally see the most famous wrestler of the 1980s and the man who created a musical genre all of his own take the stage at a political nominating convention, but that's exactly what we saw tonight with Hulk Hogan and Kid Rock. Let's take a look at Hulk Hogan's unique appearance.
When they took a shot at my hero, and they tried to kill the next president of the United States. Enough was enough. And I said, let Trumpomania run wild, brother.
So that is not something that I have ever seen at another convention. Hogan was probably best known after his wrestling career for his raunchy reality show that aired for four seasons starting in 2005. And then he was followed by Kid Rock, who of course has a history of using racial epithets, performing in front of the Confederate flag. And he certainly got the crowd inside the Pfizer Forum going with his rendition of a song I don't think I can say on the name of on the air, but had a chorus that went fight, fight, fight for Trump, which was part of what we heard from the crowd all night tonight and the former president himself.
Heather, if nothing else, the man knows how to put on a show, right? So tonight was not the only night that was filled with celebrities. Why?
That's not. So it's clear that the Republican Party wants people to think that this is not your father's Republican Party, and certainly not your grandfather's party. They were really painting a party of hip people of color, including Amber Rose, the rap star, perhaps best known for her relationship with Kanye West. And then, of course, introducing the president, the former president, I should say, tonight was Dana White, who founded the Ultimate Fighting Championship. He, of course, perhaps is best known recently for slapping his wife during an argument.
Okay, Heather, let's focus on the non-celebrities then who spoke tonight. Who were those?
That's right. So part of tonight, there were just jarring tonal shifts even before the president took the stage. After Hulk Hogan took the stage, we heard from Franklin Graham, the son, of course, of famed evangelical preacher Billy Graham. And then we heard from Eric Trump, the son of the former president, who really delivered a speech that was full of grievance and that focused on sort of the harm that the political establishment, he said, had done to his father before, finally, Donald Trump himself took the stage.
All right, Heather Sharon for us in Milwaukee. Thanks, Heather. Of course, we'll see you again a little bit later on in the program. But first, more analysis of the final night of the Republican convention. And for that, we're joined by Santita Jackson, a political commentator and host of the Santita Jackson radio show, and Eric Nisbet, a professor of policy analysis and communication at Northwestern University. Thanks to the both of you for sticking around with us.
You're welcome.
So, Eric, let's start with you. What has the big message been over the course of this week? And, you know, how did the former president sort of respond to what the rest of the convention had teed up for him?
Right. I thought overall it was a very successful convention. It is not your father's or grandfather's party, right? They put on a great show. It was a Trump show. The overall message was strength. I am strong. Biden is weak. A lot of focus on immigration overall during the course of it. But tonight, I think the weakest part of the convention was actually Trump's speech. Right? Start off strong. That story was great, but then it meandered.
Yes, yeah. And boy, did it meander, because we just finished a little while ago. We spoke for an hour and a half, longest in...
Preacher's kid, you don't talk that long.
You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to talk that long. Even preachers don't talk that long. Santita, was this the moderated tone that some people expected from him?
I expected him to be reflective because he's looked contemplative. Look, this is someone who, as he said for quite some time, he described the assassination attempt. And that does change you. It does shape you. But I'm struck by J.D. Vance. Why am I struck by him? Because he's the future. He's the youngest vice presidential candidate we've had in more than 60 years since Richard Nixon back in the 50s. And what he is telegraphing to you is, what was interesting to me was economic populism, which was cloaking economic elitism. And this is someone who's not supported unions, who's fought against the National Labor Relations Board, someone whose own community, not in the Trump administration, but in the Biden administration, their median income in Middletown, Ohio, has gone from $42,000 a year to $63,000 a year. He's someone who also sponsors sharecropping in his venture capitalism. And so I think we need to look at that. But I think this was a successful convention. I felt that what Trump gave you tonight, the former president, let me refer to him respectfully because I think that we should do that. He gave you the unexpected, which is what you do in marketing. Now, I'm no business major, but I do know that what he did do was give us what we did not expect. He gave us someone who's more human, someone who was more humanized. And that's just how he came off. I'm not saying that that's what
The first half of the speech came off that way.
Well, he didn't give you... Let me say this. We keep talking about unity. He did give you unity. He just didn't give you uniformity. And I think we've got to be very, very clear on that, because unity doesn't mean that I parrot you. All it means is... Well, let's come together, America, but let's come together on my agenda. And that's what he's selling.
That's fair, but there was still the old Trump there. It was full of grievance, full of misinformation, blaming Democrats, if not by name, but implying, for all the country's ills. And obviously, yes, we need to have political differences and political debate, but there was enough of the old Trump there that this new Trump will not last very long. Like, I do not expect this new toned-down Trump to last any serious amount of time.
But the new Trump won't work. That's not what people are buying. People are selling the old Trump. He just had to repackage it. He had to put a bow on it, put some perfume cologne on it.
It's new Coke that will not last very long. Classic Coke will be back as soon as
But Classic Coke never left. But that's who he is. He was not coming here to give new person.
It's still Coke. It is still Trump. We're going to talk about Trump some more and check in with both of you again in just a bit. But I want to get back to Amanda Vinicky at Milwaukee's Pfizer Forum, who is joined by Illinois Republican National Committeeman Richard Porter. Amanda.
And then he'll
is the gavel banged?
No, not yet.
Yes, I am. He is outgoing from that position as soon as the gavel is down from the chair of the RNC. You are no longer in that position, so potentially current or potentially outgoing. I'm not able to watch behind us. Thank you either way, Richard Porter. This is your fifth convention that you've attended. What makes this different?
Oh, my goodness. Well, first of all, the energy was so electric because of the events over the weekend, and there is so much unity here already. But even more than that, I mean, there's a real sense that we're leading. This is going to really happen. And a lot of the other conventions, we seem to be behind. So this is one where we're sort of thinking, hey, we're up by a few touchdowns. There's still half a game left to play. Let's finish this game out strong. So a sense of resolution, a sense of getting things done, but real excitement. It's just been fabulous. It's been a great convention.
Did you see anything different in President Trump? We heard a lot about how he was going to rewrite his speech, tone things down following Saturday.
You know, he was so moved. It was so clear. You could see it in his face, his words. He started very gently telling the story. He's very conversational. He connects with people in such a way that it's almost like you're talking to him in the living room. But then he built over the speech. He had, you know, had his moments where he was calling out people in the audience, but then he built towards the end into a more classic Trump bravura performance. And it always ends with this fabulous, his other conventions, it ended with the fabulous opera singing that's so sort of symbolic of sort of that drama that he brings to politics.
Was it emotional in any way, given that there was an attempt on his life for you or for others
goodness,
in the delegation?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Oh, very, it was very emotional, very touching. His memorial to the gentleman who was killed protecting his wife and daughters was incredibly moving. And so, I you know, people around us were tearing up. And he moved on from that. But, you know, you could just see how that had touched him. And he knew that Franklin Graham, you know, he's listening to Franklin Graham in a way that he's never listened to him before. This is a man that has found God. But I think he really does feel that he's been protected by the hand of God. And so I think it's just shaping how he's thinking about himself and the race and the mission. It was really interesting to see it.
Now, he promised a lot, though. For example, massive deportation, day one actions, personally stopping ongoing wars with a phone call. Is that real?
Well, I mean, there are a lot of things he can do right off the bat. So, for example, he can close the border. There are things like that he can kind of get done immediately by rolling back some of the executive orders that Biden put into place. So the things that are like negative actions where he can pull things off the table, those will be easier to do than sort of the positive affirmative actions like going out to find people. What he's always emphasized about the deportations is to focus on the criminals first, to make sure that those people who are committing crimes are the first ones out the door. That's one of the things we need to address with sanctuary cities. We can't have the federal government working in opposition to the cities. We have to all work together to address this problem. So it's going to be an important part of this new process will be to work with cities to get that done.
Is some of that rhetoric, though, and we just have about 10 seconds left, so very briefly, is some of this rhetoric still too over the top to reach moderates?
I don't know. I think he's touching people with common sense, and I think that's what the real issue is with this election. It's the elites versus the common man. It's common sense.
Thank you so much, and again, congratulations
to you on
your outgoing position. Thank you, Richard Porter.
And thank you for coming.
All right, Amanda, thank you, and of course, thanks again to Richard Porter as well. So the Republican National Convention, it's officially come to a close. So what does this mean for the Illinois Republican Party and this year's U.S. presidential election? We're going to talk about that when we come right back.
Chicago Tonight is made possible in part by the Alexandra and John Nichols family, the Jim and Kay Mabee family, the Polk Brothers Foundation, and the support of these donors.
All right, the Republican National Convention has officially come to a close. So what does this mean for the Illinois Republican Party and this year's U.S. presidential election? Joining us once again live from Milwaukee, we've got our Spotlight Politics team, Amanda Vinicky, Heather Sharoon, and Nick Blumberg. And here in studio, we've got political commentator Santita Jackson and Northwestern University professor Eric Nisbet. Thanks for sticking around with us. Heather, starting with you, please, what message did Trump want viewers to take away from his speech, and was he successful at that?
Well, it's a confusing speech, really, Brenda. So the first 20 minutes was essentially a minute-by-minute recountation of the assassination attempt on Saturday. And then it really became a standard Trump rally speech that went far off of the teleprompter and the prepared speech that included grievances. It included promises to contest an unfavorable election result. It characterized migrants and immigrants as being like Hannibal Lecter. I'll have to check the history books. I do believe that's the first time Hannibal Lecter has ever been referenced in a convention speech. And I think that there was not a lot of sort of policy. We did not hear anything about abortion. We did not hear anything really other than sort of his preferred culture war issues. We heard a lot of anti-transgender promises. We also heard sort of promises to keep inflation down without any specifics about how all of that is going to work.
Amanda, you know, to Heather's point, is Trump's speech, is that much of a departure from what we've heard from him in the past?
It really wasn't. It was conventional for Trump in its unconventionality from regular political speeches, but really, as Heather noted, beyond the beginning where I don't know, have you ever again had a presidential candidate reference the bloodiest part of the body when he was talking about his ear? You know, it went from, in a classic, I guess, sort of Trump meandering sense, it went from very serious and somber to sort of almost joking about what had happened there, where I heard laughter from the folks that were sitting up by, that I was standing alongside, who were otherwise wrapped and hanging on every word that Trump said and shouting back at him, "I love you. We love you." I wanted to add, by the way, I think this is interesting because earlier we had an interview and spoke with Congressman Mike Bost, and he had said, you know, even if you hear a different tone, remember, this is the same man. A lot of conjecture, will he be different following an attempt on his life? That could change a person. But it really seems as if no matter what, as Congressman Bost noted, that you can change your tone, still the same guy underneath.
As we were just saying here in studio, is it new Coke or classic Coke? It's still Trump is what it is. Nick, how would you describe the broader impact of the convention? You know, who are these conventions really for?
Well, I mean, these conventions are essentially a grand spectacle. The folks who are going to make the trip to Milwaukee from near and far, these are folks who are already all in on Donald Trump. You know, we've been talking all week about this message of unity, both within the Illinois Republican Party and nationally. You know, even if you look back at 2016, when Trump, you know, very handily won the nomination, eventually it was still a fight. There were different factions within, you know, the hall there. There were different people who were still pushing back. There were some more resilient Never Trumpers. At this point, both within the Illinois Republican Party and certainly nationally, everybody's all in. So if you're here, you're willing to listen to whatever the message is. Now, I will say we did start to see some folks walking out of the hall, you know, as this speech, you know, kind of dragged on and on. But these conventions are messaging, they are theater. And at this point, they very much are preaching to the choir when it comes to the GOP. This is the party of Trump.
So one of the people who was in the audience tonight who I want to talk about, former First Lady Melania Trump, appeared finally. We know that we have not seen her at all this week, and she finally got her sort of heroine's, you know, welcome walking up to her seat. Is it strange, Santita, for a candidate's spouse to be so absent for so long from the convention? And does that make any indication about how involved or what kind of First Lady she might be if he's elected again?
I think she's being consistent with how she's handled being First Lady all along. And quite frankly, that is her business. She has had a son to raise, and she's had a family to keep together. And I respect that. Just with my own background, I get that. That having been said, one wonders, I hope that she will use this platform even now to speak to maternal mortality. That's a very real issue for us. To speak for a woman's agency, that's a very real issue for us. I'm not asking her to be a proponent of abortion, of the terminating of a pregnancy, but for women to receive the care and respect that we deserve. I'd like to see that, but it is ultimately her decision, a woman's agency, to handle herself as she chooses.
What kind of First Lady she will
Absolutely.
Be if he's elected again.
We can't determine that. I mean, and I'm not here to put a temperature gauge on her marriage and how she lives her life. That's not fair.
Eric, we talked about this a little bit before. One of the things that I've noticed that I've heard from the GOP this week, the GOP pivoting to tell voters to vote early, which
right.
is typically a Democratic talking point.
Right.
So I was a little surprised to hear that from the Trumps in particular this week, Laura Trump mentioning it yesterday, and Donald Trump in a video that was played during the convention.
That has been a key advantage that Democrats have had over Republicans. Voting early means you're banking votes, right? You're putting them in the bank. Mm-hmm. Day of voting, you know, if it rains, we know there's less turnout, mm-hmm. right? Traffic. So Democrats have really mobilized voters. They have educated voters. You see them lining up, and this has been a big advantage. And Republicans now realize it, and so they're pivoting.
Amanda, we've got about 45 seconds left. The DNC is coming to Chicago in about a month. This whole team will be working on it then, too, of course. What are you going to be keeping your eye on as we get closer to that?
I mean, really, for first, it's who the candidate is going to be. Will it be President Joe Biden running again for a second term, or are we going to have someone else in his stead? That is the key question. Of course, here, coming off of 4 days of covering the Republican National Convention and with Chicago being the host city for the DNC, what lessons is Chicago going to learn, no matter who the nominee may be, in terms of security, what it means for local businesses? There are a lot of lessons, perhaps, for the DNC to take away from the RNC, and I'm sure they've been watching a close watch. I will make a bet right now that whoever it is, that it is going to end similar in fashion as this, with a big balloon drop.
Okay. I'm not taking that bet because I think I'm on your side on that one. Amanda Vinicky, Heather Sharon, Nick Blumberg, great job out there. Thanks so much. Santita Jackson and Eric Nesbitt, thank you so much for joining us here
in
studio.
Come on
to Chicago, also known as Down the Road. That is our show for tonight. Please be sure to join us tomorrow night for the Week in Review. Now, for all of us here at Chicago Tonight, I'm Brandis Friedman. Thanks for watching. Stay healthy and safe, and have a good night.
Closed captioning is made possible by Robert A. Clifford and Clifford Law Offices, a Chicago personal injury and wrongful death firm that is proud to recognize its founder and senior partner, Robert Clifford, who ranked number one in the state of Illinois by Super Lawyers Top 10 2024 Illinois Super Lawyers List.